Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. John on the other side of the glass, and I in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. It is Friday, the final day of June, June 30th, 2023. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, the voice for Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We are at now officially the 12 and a half year mark with our radio program and our 35th year on TV and radio in Tucson. Worldwide live listening of all of my programs available at BuckmasterShow.com, which is also the site for all of our podcasts. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday Media Shoutout Day. Thanks, Dylan Smith and your team, which is growing. The announcement made yesterday. Our buddy Jim Ninsel is joining the TucsonSentinel.com team. Actually, we're going to bring in Ninsel and Dylan to talk about all of that. I think it's Wednesday, after the holiday. Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Dan Shear and his team at Green Valley News. Dan with me in studio today. Dan, thank you for everything you do for this program.
I love what you do for the community.
Thank you very much. Tucson Local Media Group, they have a portfolio of publications that includes Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview is with the United States Representative, Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District, Raul Grijalva. Congressman Grijalva was first elected to Congress in 2002. He is a ranking member of, he is the ranking member of the House Natural Resources Committee, which he chaired during the 116th and 117th Congress. Congressman Grijalva, with us now from D.C. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you very much. And, you know, I had a visit that a site visit to in Puerto Rico, which is part of our jurisdiction, to go see how the project that we initiated is going, and it's going well, meet with some community, get back, and then get ready to get back home.
Ann and I were in Puerto Rico for often a couple of weeks, kind of made it a base to hit some of the islands. One thing that disturbed me, Congressman Grijalva, right across the street from the hotel, the courtyard by Marriott out there by the airport, is this giant cockfighting ring. And I learned that there are 79 of these cockfighting rings on this island of Puerto Rico. And as you know, the Congress has said, stop. We don't want this going on, and there's actually been threats to cut off some funding. I'm sure you're aware of all of this.
I'm aware of all that because I get, since I voted for that ban to extend to insular areas and territories, not just states, you know, that's one area in which I get a lot of criticism, and it's a constant. It's a constant to make sure that the local authorities, and i.e. the federal authorities, mandate that ban. And so the complaint is that it's not what it used to be. Most of it is underground and illegal, but it still occurs. And, you know, the enforcement needs to continue, probably even ramp up in sometimes some parts of the season. But that's a reality that's been there, and it's been a reality since we extended the law to cover Puerto Rico and banning cockfighting.
Yeah. All right. The Supreme Court yesterday, it was affirmative action. for higher education, shooting that down. By the way, that won't affect Arizona. And then there was the decision today on President Biden's debt relief plan for student loans. What does this say, Congressman Grijalva, about the United States Supreme Court?
Well, it's the Trump court. The three additions and then Thomas and Alito that were there, and Roberts that as Chief Justice that hasn't found a moderating middle ground to which the court has tradition is to be that check and balance on the Constitution and on legislation Congress produces. I think it's shifted into a very extreme position. You saw it with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. You saw it on the last day of Pride Month, the LGBTQ decision in terms of, with the precedent there is this is the first time for a protected class that that the court has said it's okay, that you may discriminate, and what the ramifications will be for other people, other situations, other protected interracial marriages. I mean, the list goes on. So the precedents that have been set and around the student relief, the student loan relief, that's 43 million Americans. 70% of them would be considered moderate to low and just starting out their careers. But the fact remains that something has to be done about the higher cost of education. That is the root cause. And, when you have universities, both public and private across this country, with $700 billion worth of endowments available to them, for the universities, cost control, targeted relief. And the president's going to announce in a half hour what his response is to this Supreme Court decision. But, that is the highest. That kind of a default would be devastating to our economy at this point. And I hope that the president, using whatever executive power he can, talks about targeted relief, talks about long-term, talks about a categorical waivers, and talks about putting some controls on the cost of higher education and career education. Not just about going to university. It's about career education. Mm-hmm. And tramping down on for-profit colleges that have systematically gotten people in debt, and then they end up with worthless degrees that they can't use to get a real job and can't pay back their loans.
All right, let's bring in our friend Dan Scheer. Dan, go ahead. You're with Congressman Grijalva.
You talked about the high court allowing discrimination with this ruling, but Asian Americans and white students had been discriminated against for decades under the existing plan. Was that okay?
No. That's a jump to a conclusion. I think the facts that were presented before the court was that was not the case. It's certainly however, that was not the case, and that there was not that pattern. I would say that there's been discrimination on the part of legacy students at those Ivy League schools that automatically, because their daddy went there, they get to go there too. Would you consider that decades and decades of discrimination that prevented diversity in those universities? It's a historic issue. It's a tool. It is not the only tool, nor should it be the tool. But it is a tool to make our higher institutions and the opportunity available at those higher institutions serve a more diverse population, a more diverse demographic in this country, period.
Highly qualified Asian American and white students were not given spots that went to minorities as a result of the system that had been in place. So you say that wasn't happening, but clearly it was. Not everybody gets in. And at one point, and it was actually in the second phase of deciding who would get to attend the school there, race was brought up and these students lost out. So you're saying that, was that okay, or was
please,
that...
No, I'm not saying it's okay, Dan. I mean, don't put words in my mouth, please.
I'm asking you.
I'm telling you that it's a tool.
A tool for what? Discrimination?
A tool for increasing diversity, not for discrimination. Should we eliminate the legacy issue that Daddy was here so I can get into this
yes.
Ivy League college?
Yes, we should.
Can we eliminate that?
We should absolutely eliminate that.
Correct. That would create more opportunity, wouldn't it, for other people, whether you're poor, whether you're black, whether you're brown, whether you're female, gender. Those are all part of the diversity of America.
But these people were not being kept from. But these people are not kept from universities and colleges. In fact, most universities allow in more than 50% of the people who apply. There were certain ones they couldn't get into, the elite ones. But you're saying that diversity is there's going to be some collateral damage, and it's going to be some students who are deserving don't get in.
And there shouldn't be collateral damage. And the facts and the pleadings before the court talked about that collateral damage. And it was insignificant, if none. So, on that particular college. So, you know.
So, diversity is worth it.
You have to look at the readings and you have to look at the opinions. And it's kind of ironic that, you know, that we're talking about a Supreme Court that makes a decision that has no transparency, that goes off and does judges Thomas and Alito, the leaders on the conservative side of this court, extreme conservative side. Refuse to disclose what every other federal judge has to do in terms of they have conflicts and where they're getting their money and who is giving them gifts.
All right.
Those are issues that are significant, too.
All right. Matt has been waiting patiently for Congressman Grijalva. Go ahead, Matt.
Congressman Grijalva, approximately May 23rd of this year, the County Board of Supervisors submitted several letters to several members of the congressional delegation, including yourself, as well as Senator Kelly and Senator Sinema, asking you to please oppose Permitting for Mining Needs Act, H.R. 209. And I was wondering if you could give us an update on how you see that one going, as it appears that, you know, obviously it looks like it was possibly also, you know, directed at Rosemont.
Yeah, I think that permitting fight continues. It's in the hands of the agencies. Legislatively, I'm almost certain that that's not going to happen with the majority here in the House. But we have communicated to the administration, Department of Interior, Department of Energy, all relative to the issues of process, full EIS, full study, and water and cultural and historic resource effects. And we've done that. Following that particular letter and beyond, at least our office has. I don't know about what the rest of the delegation has done with that.
All right, the Department of Interior. What is the update? Are you satisfied with what we're hearing on the allocation, the latest allegation from the Department of Interior on the Colorado River? Can you kind of tell us where we are?
I think the three state deal. Nevada, California, and Arizona, buys us some very valuable time, but it is not the solution. The solution conserving is part of the solution, but utilization and allocation is going to have to become part of that process. So, you know, while we have a year, 2 years of that agreement, maybe three, I think it's important that people don't just wait and see what's going to happen, but rather... You know, and I've heard it from everybody, from both sides of the aisle, from water experts that are for water, for agriculture, water experts that are for urban areas and water utility companies, the same thing, that we have some difficult decisions to make at a state level in terms of water allocation and water use. And that involves planning. That involves what the priority areas for water consumption are, and those are still need to be made. And then some prohibitions. I mean, we've got to stop some water usages that are counterproductive, growing, controlling who is accessing that water, and having the rules and regulations and enforcements in place that so that assured water is indeed assured, and two, that there's no exploitation and loopholes in the law. Those are all decisions that the state of Arizona has to make, and I think they're tough ones, but they're all. I think what the Interior has done in the Bureau of Reclamation is probably extend the period using resources to buy water usage back from primarily agriculture. That's one way, but it's not going to be the long-term solution down the road.
All right, we're going to pause right here. More with Congressman Raul Grijalva and Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News with me in studio. Be right back. Buckmaster on a Friday. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, final day of June, and a relatively cool day. Yeah, John on the other side of the glass saying, what are you saying, Bill? Well, I'm saying it's 105, so that's, you know, what it could be like and could be and will be maybe 8 to 9 degrees hotter by the 4th of July. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Congressman Raul Grijalva with me on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Before we go to caller David, let's go back to my co-host today, Dan Scheer. Dan, what's on your mind for the congressman?
Congressman Grijalva, you have been in Congress for 20 years. You turned 75 this year. How much longer are you going to be around?
I feel okay, you know. I think, you know, as Robert Kennedy said, you know, that age has less to do with time and more with the mind, and the mind is good.
It's true.
And if I can't do the job because I don't have any excitement for it, or if I can't do the job because of my capacity to communicate and to understand and to comprehend what I'm doing. If I can't do the job because I have a physical incapacity, yeah, I wouldn't do it. But this point in my career, I feel strong. And I feel like we're at this defining moment, Dan, in this country. And we talked a little bit about, you know, the Supreme Court, whether it's Roe, whether it's affirmative action, whether it's LGBTQ. That's an ideological court, and it's not going to get packed, and we're not going to get more members on it. And so Congress then becomes more and more important as a check and balance to correct some of the decisions that the court has made. Okay, and so I think that's an important part. The whole issue of how you set the table for climate is going to be essential. And then the last thing I want to talk about, you know, we made this deal on the debt ceiling so we wouldn't go over the cliff. Now we have the government shutdown and the budget. The House of Representatives, totally on party lines, sent a budget out of appropriations that basically makes significant and deep cuts. The Senate's doing something entirely different. We're going to go back to that point of are we going over the cliff? And when is a deal a deal? The debt ceiling was supposed to settle everything down the line, and it didn't. And, you know, I think that those issues are still going to be very much alive, and that there's an opportunity for two more years to be able to affect that and set the table the way, the direction, the way it should be, it'd be fine. But, you know, the Supreme Court's going to make its decisions, and, you know, it's the law of the land. We all live with them. We deal with it. But I think that it's going to mobilize and energize a lot of people to see how we can continue to acknowledge the history of this nation and how we can continue to acknowledge and promote the opportunity for everyone, but certainly to make sure that it's reflective of that opportunity is reflective of the people, the diverse people that we call the Americans in this country.
And right.
So, yeah.
Well, obviously,
I'm looking forward to it.
Obviously, you don't pick your successor, but if you could pick your successor right now, who would it be?
That, Dan.
What was that?
Granted, you might have not put words in my mouth last time, but you're trying to now, and I ain't biting.
Okay.
Oh, boy. We picture there, Congressman. All right. David has been waiting. David's concerned, and a lot of people are, about housing and water. Go ahead, David. You're with the congressman.
Here's my issue. They've been asking us for years, please, please conserve water. Well, at the very same time, in Maricopa County, they've just been rubber stamping these giant housing developments. Then they
came up
with the ultimate monstrosity. Douglas Ranch, 100,000 homes, 300,000 people, the amount of water and power that's going to require to sustain that is astronomical, and that's only one or more, two dozen giant housing developments that they have recklessly approved. And I wish maybe you could get something going get a federal intervention to get this stopped before we run out of water, before we draw the Colorado River down to the Deadpool level, and hydroelectric plants shut down. It's 110 degrees. Everybody's running air conditioning. The power grid goes down, and millions of people without air conditioning or cooling, and people are going to be dying like flies.
Well, Congressman David has a point. A lot of people are concerned.
The point is those choices, and I don't think I was emphatic enough about what those choices are, and I think he made the point. Okay, you choices are coming upon communities in Maricopa, Pima, Tucson, Phoenix, big urban areas where we have relied on real estate and growth as a big driver of our economy, and everything attendant to that. Well, we're coming to a point that those decisions now have to be relooked at. And they have to be looked at in terms of consumption, allocation, and long-term assurance of water availability. Those are going to be, they have to be factors. Because the choices are, is it the consumer? Is it agriculture that has first priorities in the state? Is it extraction, i.e. mining, uses a lot of water? Is that going to continue to be a top priority? Do you see what I mean? And those choices have to be made. Is it infill versus sprawl? Those are choices that I think local jurisdictions, and what can the federal government do about it? I think it can incentivize real urban planning, and it can incentivize issues that begin to look at water allocation in the long term, and not just. And I hope this the center that's opening up at the U of A on climate change and environmental justice issues and environmental usage issues, I hope they're big contributors to that as well. But my point is that those hard questions are going to have to happen. Because what we're doing is unsustainable.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
Congressman, the border city of Nogales has been stuck at about 20,000 population for several decades. Generally speaking, why do some border communities thrive and others just don't?
I looked and I made the comparison primarily between what I see in Laredo, okay, in Texas.
Right.
And not so much Juarez, but Laredo, kind of representative of the region down there in Nogales. And it's about the historic investment that have been made in those communities around, you know, ports of entry, commerce, trade. And although the catch-up made some efforts in San Luis, Nogales, to bring that investment, we finally got something for Douglas that hadn't been attended to since 1950. Those are issues because it deals with both security that everybody is concerned about, but it also deals with the flow of goods and services and people in an orderly, secure way that adds to our economy. I think that's the biggest difference. The investment in the infrastructure, from sewer treatment plants to roads to energy delivery and transmission, yeah, they have been made in some and not in others. And for whatever reason, and maybe it's been the lack of having the kinds of numbers of political legislators in federal in Texas versus Arizona, but the fact remains that now the Arizona border is critical. It's critical to a security issue, and it's critical to economic development of the state and the region. And we're pushing for that attention. But it's been one of investment, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Can you tell us about the Environmental Justice for All Act that you introduced earlier this year and its status? And I know that you have introduced this in the past. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, we introduced this session. I'll be honest with you. I don't see the majority bringing it to a hearing in front of our committee resources, but you know, about 65% of it was incorporated into an executive order by President Biden, and we're very, very happy and grateful for that. I think at some point it needs to be codified, and it's not just when we talk about justice, it's about rural communities, it's about communities that are over impacted, it's about air quality, public health, clean water. And it cuts across all kinds of lines. But the impact in the past has been on the poorest and the most vulnerable communities across this country, and that includes tribes as well, and rural communities. So it's still there. It now affords a process. Every agency in the government has to respond to that question. Are you impacting and cumulatively adding to the burden is the central question. So we're happy that it's part of an executive order, and hopefully in less than 2 years be able to once again legislatively move it out of the House and see what it does in the Senate.
Can you give us an example in your district of how marginalized communities would benefit from stricter controls on federal agencies with oversight on the environment? Because that's really what the Justice for All Act is asking for.
You would have the tools under the environment. The Environmental Policy Act, first of all, the right to know, disclosure. Two, to have the wherewithal and the means to be able to respond and analyze what's being presented to you. You know, the people in the train wreck in Pennsylvania are still waiting for answers. And that's been the pattern. What would be a good example? The good example would be any permitted discharge that requires a federal permit for discharge, whether it is air or water, would then fall under the act, and communities surrounding it would have first the right to know, and then a process in which they can make their voices heard, and the opportunity to either reach consensus or the opportunity to raise the opposition, period.
All right. We have a situation with the smoke. It's just an unprecedented situation in North America with the Canadian wildfires. These fires, which started in May, most likely burn until the snows come in October up in Canada. The air quality is so bad right now in North America. And I do want to acknowledge, Congressman, today is the 10-year anniversary of the tragedy of the Granite Mountain hotshots up in Prescott, 19 lives lost. Is there one thing we can do in this country to kind of, for our forests, what would that be, or what's your thoughts on that?
I think we've come to some changes over time. I think that at one point, the idea of thinning and reducing fuel, for lack of a better word, was opposed as something that would hurt the forest. Time has taught us, and science has empirically proven that is a necessary fire deterrent. The other thing is the interface between urban and communities, where the bigger threat is, and continuing to fund those projects so that there is a joint meeting of the mind on how you protect and how you assure that you have protected living space for people. But the fundamental problem, as we're seeing in Canada and we're seeing it in the forest, these are catastrophic fires. They have nothing to do with how old the tree is. It has to do with the dryness, has to do with the temperature rises, and it has to do with the fundamental fact that part of what is going on in our forest and in our natural environment is directly related to climate. And it's directly related to our dependency, rising temperatures in seas as well, and the discharges from our planet have all added to making the climate issue more and more of a crisis. So what's the fundamental thing we can do is to begin to accept that as a realistic transition, that the longer we take to make the transition away from fossil fuels to renewables, the more painful and the harder it's going to be on the planet. And you're seeing it in Canada. And you're going to see it when the fire season begins to hit us out here in the West.
All right. Dan, do you have a final word for the congressman?
Yeah, we in the media are definitely hearing from readers about who are pretty upset about the division, not only in Washington, but also across the nation. What are you hearing from constituents regarding that, just the deep divisions in the country right now?
I don't. And it's been a difficult question because, you know, I would never, I can say this in all honesty, I miss Jim Colby. I miss John McCain. I miss Shattuck. Let me tell you why. Because we didn't agree. We didn't agree on the future of Social Security. We didn't agree on a variety of things, fundamental, different set of values. But there was a consensus point. In which if there was a derived benefit for the people of Arizona, the district, we would collaborate and see how we could do that. I'm not saying that, but right now there's a certain meanness to what we're doing up here. In the sense that everything is, there is a fundamental lack of leadership. The speaker has not taken control of his caucus. When you have 11 or 12 people basically dictating what the agenda is, and that agenda is a mean-spirited agenda, the only recourse we have as a minority, we can't go along with what they're asking for and demanding, so our only recourse is opposition. I would hope that I am not as shrill or as stupid as my opponents on that issue, but the fact remains that that's kind of the situation that you're left with. And that's kind of the choice. And that is terribly unfortunate because the whole point of middle ground in the legislative process is lost.
You have introduced with some other Arizona lawmakers legislation to rename the post office in historic Patagonia after the late Congressman Jim Colby. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah. I hope. Yeah, of course. I mean, I hope it does. I hope it does. Good man.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have to let you go. Congressman Grijalva, thank you very much. And we'll see you here in studio next time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. See you later, Dan.
Thanks a lot. All right. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer and myself talk a little bit next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition. Our friend Dan Scheer is here, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And also, and I didn't mention this in Dan's intro, not only is he busy with the local papers, which are owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications, and Dan is the editorial director now for more than 30 newspapers in 13 states. So there is some travel now involved with his job.
Yeah, just got back from North Dakota for two weeks.
Friendly people up there. We were up in Fargo a few years ago. I tell you, everybody was so darn friendly up in the Dakotas.
They're good, you know, because they have to shut themselves away for 8 months, and they're so when the snow falls, and they're so glad to see people. But it was a really good trip, and then right over the border in Sydney, Montana, we have that paper too. And so I was in Williston and Sydney, and it was probably my best trip. We just accomplished so much in that newsroom.
Local papers are so important in that area.
They are, but you know what we need is good local papers, and there are so many that just aren't, and so we're dealing with those issues. And so when they go away, I don't know how much some of them are really missed. So we're building good ones, though.
What's going on with this proposed asphalt plant?
Well,
I understand, you know, not in my backyard.
Yeah. Is this a case of that, or is it a case of, gosh, it just shouldn't be built anywhere, or certainly in a more remote area? Here's my suspicion. So Vulcan Materials, which is out of Alabama, already has many of these, more than a dozen in Arizona, and they make asphalt for roads. My suspicion is that they want to go in Sarita, where they already have a construction materials plant, by the way, and it would be right next to Quail Creek, which is kind of an upper crust community. But they want to go in there because we have that proposed Sonoran corridor that will link I-19 and I-10, and that'll need a lot of asphalt. My guess is they want to put it in for that reason. But they have a plant already in Marana. We've toured it. We've had public meetings Monday night. More than 100 people showed up at the council meeting on this topic. And there is a little bit of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, but really what people are bringing up are some legitimate concerns. Odor, air quality, extra trucks on the road, things like that. And so can you really keep these things out of your community? Well, this is not requiring a zoning change, which can be tough. This just requiring a conditional use permit, which is a lower bar to clear. So at what point do those who are opposed to it, and there are hundreds, and at what point do you say, okay, we're not going to kill this project, we're going to try to make it as, you know, least awful as we can? I think they're getting to that point.
Are there homes nearby?
Yeah, the closest homes would be about a half mile. And so they say that that's way too close. Vulcan comes back and says, look, we have two properties that one of them, we have homes within 350 feet, and the other one is about a quarter mile away. So, you
350
know,
feet, that's almost like somebody living inside the perimeter of the asphalt plant.
So I think a lot of these concerns are legitimate, but is it a worst case scenario? Like if the wind is blowing at a certain speed and the day is like this and whatever, is it going to affect you? So really what they want is it just to go away, but it's not going to.
Do they smoke? Why do they leave off a lot of smoke?
It's just all. It depends, you know, on what you use. Is it going to be gas, or is it going to be heated with oil? And ours would be oil, which does not burn as cleanly, and that's another concern and a legitimate one.
You've got a nice little feature working about the the Cactus Little League?
Yeah. So 50 years ago, when I was in Little League, 50 years ago.
No, that's when I was in Little League.
the 1973 Cactus Little League team from the Tucson area, southern Arizona, went all the way to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series. The Taiwan kids beat them. But now, 50 years later, they're being inducted into the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame. And so go back and look at not only that game, but right around that time period, the Taiwanese were the rumors were out that these were not 12-year-olds, you know, and they actually were banned for a couple of
Ringers.
Years. Yeah. And so this team, the Taiwan team, during the entire Little League World Series did not give up a single run or a single hit. So I'm going to just call it right here. The Tucson team, the Cactus Little League, they were the real winners. Let's just do that. So, but we have a local guy who was part of that team, and we've told that story. It's on our website, gvnews.com. A lot of fun, but they will be inducted later this fall.
There is a lot of anger. You brought that up. Congressman Grijalva brought it up about everybody's so darn angry in D.C.
And
Why would anyone want to even run for office these days? That's my question. I mean,
that's a great and your question.
Especially when you're out here in Arizona and you've got to travel. Do you really want to go through airports like every week to get back to your constituents? But I mean, I don't know.
And nothing you do is right now because everything has been politicized, and they'll pick apart your family and your background and your education and your work history. And is it really worth it? And I've always said the smart people work at the second and third layers of government, who kind of transcend all the transitions that go on, and they will always be there. But those who would be have to run for election and re-election, boy, I think there are fewer and fewer people willing to do that.
What can we look for? What do you have in the paper this week?
Well, we actually did an interview with an actor, and Michael Biehn, I think is his name, B-I-E-H-N, and he was in like Terminator and Aliens and
his work. Yeah.
But 30 years ago, he was in a movie called Tombstone, and they just had a 30th anniversary gig over in Tombstone, and he has a house in Bisbee, and we went over and interviewed him, and it's just kind of a, you know, kind of a walk through his career. Very interesting guy. He said, you know, I never wanted to be a star. I just always wanted to be a really good actor. And so and he was in some really big things, most of them back in the 80s, Hill Street Blues and that type of stuff. So that's coming up. And then we're also talking to the Weather Service because it's going to be a rough week coming up with a lot of heat warnings out there. And just stay inside for the 4th. That would be my advice.
Yeah. Then those of us who just are not that crazy about fireworks, if we have animals in house, which we do, it really is. It's just so scary. And a lot of these people now are traveling over to New Mexico. We love New Mexico. That's one of our sponsors, of course, Silver City, but they do have different laws. Some people will travel actually to the state line and right in Lordsburg, and they'll buy these I call them mortars.
Yes.
They're like mortar shells.
Yes.
And a couple of our neighbors, one neighbor in particular, scared the bejeebers out of us last 4th of July. I thought we were under attack. I mean, it was like a mortar shell going off in our driveway, and probably the only time I've ever opened the door and yelled, screamed, please stop. And guess what? My request was answered by another volley. So, you know, then I thought, maybe I better not say anything to this neighbor, because what if he points that mortar like at my front door?
In a dry desert, not good.
Exactly, but it's really crazy. Anyway, Dan Gibson is supposed to be calling in with Weekend Watch, but we don't know. I hope he does, but anyway, so I'm actually going to keep you here and look up what's going on this weekend. Maybe I'll go to the Arizona Daily Star and see what's going on for the weekend. But anyway, be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Friday.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Go into an excessive heat warning weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The good news is, if you want to escape the heat, it's at least 10 to 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City. And why? The elevation. It's like 6,000 feet. Over in Silver City, their elevation. Let's see, today, look at that, 88 degrees right now, while we're pushing over 100. So there you go, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. What to do, where to stay, and even where to dine. Some great opportunities for you, recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Here he is, Dan Gibson, in for Matt Russell on Weekend Watch. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Calling you from the depths of the Tucson Convention Center.
Well, you've got a pretty good, we've got some pretty good reception. That's, we're off to a good start there. Do you have any?
I know, right? What more could you ask for? The renovations here have been amazing.
Tell us about what's going on other than the obvious, of course, fireworks.
Oh, yes, indeed. So, you know, there's a lot of new things opening downtown. It's actually been a really exciting time. You think of the beginning of the summer is not a time period where you'd have a lot of new openings, but two new establishments sort of in their soft opening stage this weekend. The Dandelion Lounge, which is at 200 North Court Avenue in the Presidio Museum Complex, they're opening. It's their second weekend of being opened. It's a bar. It's owned by the same people who own Ceres, which is down by there. And it's an intimate little, like, a high-end cocktail bar, a little bit of like a speakeasy vibe, but you can also be out on the patio, hang out there in the courtyard of the Presidio. Really nice place to check out. Also, Pearly Baker Wine Lounge is opening. They're moving, actually, having their soft opening the 1st and the 2nd, 5 p.m. to midnight, in the former grill space on Congress, 100 East Congress. Josh Osteen's there, quite a wizard with wine menu. They're also having selections of food and things like that. Fun things to check out if you want to be first on your block to check out new places this weekend.
Sounds very good. How about another one for me, Dan?
Red, White, and Brew is happening at Hacienda del Sol. That's Monday, July 3rd, 6 to 9 p.m. Unlimited beer tasting from Arizona Brewers. Mm. Also an independence-themed American buffet, live music. They have an option if you don't want the beer, $50 buffet only, $70 with the buffet and beer. If you want to get that, you should get your tickets now at Hacienda del Sol's website.
May I ask what you are doing in the basement of the Tucson Convention Center?
Not the basement, just in the depths. You know what I mean? We're actually planning our, I work at, obviously, Tucson Medical Center. We have an annual event coming up in September for our employees. If you're celebrating an anniversary that ends in a 5 or a 0, we have like a giant dinner and things celebrating. We have an employee celebrating their 55th anniversary.
Very cool.
Here at TMC.
So you're doing a little scouting mission.
working on the menu, looking at the space, you know, just checking it out, making sure all the ducks in a row.
There you go.
If an employee worked 55 years in one place, they deserve a little.
There you go. Dan little Gibson.
Effort, you know.
Dan, have a great weekend, an extended weekend.
You too.
All right, be safe. Dan Gibson with us with Weekend Watch. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, which is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks, John, on the other side of the glass, and the entire team here at Bustos Media in Tucson. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely Independence Day weekend.